With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Nothing Concrete, the Barbican podcast. I'm Ben Eshmade, and on this week's edition, we travel back to 2013 and the centenary of composer Benjamin Britten. In November of that year, director Neisha Jones staged a unique, beautiful and sold-out performance of Curlew River at St Giles Cripplegate.
When you're wandering around the Finland or, you know, through the marshes, the bird life is extremely active. And so, you know, it's not for no reason that this is a central motif.
That sense of experiment and freedom and randomness that you find in 60s rock music, I think also subconsciously had found its way to Britten in this piece.
I can't wait to hear them. I cannot wait to hear Ian singing this. I'm going to be in tears most of the time.
A meeting of cultures and music, East meets West, as we explore Britten's incredibly beautiful church parable.
I'm Neisha Jones, I'm the director of Curlew River.
Can you explain where we are at the moment?
We're in St Giles Cripplegate, an absolutely stunning church which somehow dates back almost 1,000 years, not this exact building, but this location as a place of worship. And it's a completely unique church, surrounded as it is by the overarching modernity of the Barbican.
We're here for a reason, though. You're going to be directing a production of a very unusual piece of Benjamin Britten.
It's a very special and unusual piece in that I can't think of anything else quite like it. And it's a church parable. It's one of Britten's three church parables. It's the one that seems to have the most universality. It seems to be performed the most and somehow reach out in a broader way, perhaps, than the other two. It was written for church performance, so we are performing it in a church. Originally, I didn't feel that we had to do that. I was interested in coming out of the opera house or theatre or concert space, obviously. But then when we came into St Giles, it actually all just kind of came together in my mind, and I think this is a lovely place to be able to do the performance.
Curlew River by Benjamin Britten. I am he who rows the ferry across the Sumida in the province of Musashi.
Famously, it's based on a piece of no theatre, and you know that in itself demands a certain degree of study. I think it would be foolish to come to the piece without acknowledging that somehow. And yet we're not reenacting no drama in this production at all. But I'm interested in why Britten was attracted to it so much. At the same time as, you know, the reason why he initially, in his first encounter with no theatre, found it impenetrable to the degree of actually being funny. I think that's a reaction that we quite often have when faced with something very alien. we kind of, you know, it dissolve into laughter simply because we don't quite know how to cope with it. But thereafter, I think after that initial response, he became really, really fascinated with it, particularly these elements of clarity and sparsity and intensity.
But first, may I ask you, what is that strange noise up the highway there? May I ask, did you see who it is that is singing? Yes, the people were watching a woman in the road who seems to be crazy. They say she comes from the Black Mountains.
The idea is that what we're installing should feel like the opposite of the church. And what I'd like to install will be very, very clean and very minimal and very much the Japanese aesthetic of high contrast, very, very simple, and I hope very beautiful. We're putting an incredibly tall mast in the church. Oh my goodness me. It's 8 meters tall. It's going to be really, really difficult. But this is the kind of thing that you can really only do in a church because you have this wonderful height. The sense of the vaulted quality reaching up heavenwards is something that you can achieve while maintaining intimacy in this small, tiny space.
Singer and performer Ian Bostridge.
Curly River is something I've been planning to do, I would say, since 1997, since I did Turn of the Screw. I'd been in long discussions with all sorts of people about doing it, and it seemed to be a sort of slightly jinxed idea. It's great that it's finally come together, and it's great that it's finally come together with such a great creative team and with Nisha as the director, who has such a unusual and distinctive vision. I mean, to have somebody who does, I was told she was somebody who worked with video, but the fact that she's actually really one of the performers, that she's there running the video so that every performance is different, is a fantastic gift, I think.
We spoke to Ian Bostridge, and one of the things he mentioned that he was looking forward to, referring to working with you, was the fact that as a director, you also are involved in the performance.
Yeah, it's very important. It's central, actually, to the work that I do, is that it's very much embedded in the musical language, and so I can respond, you know, as fluidly as an instrumental performer might. I never like doing it, but it's what I do for some reason. It's the only way. It's absolutely the only way. I couldn't do it if I were behind glass. You know, there are quite often in concert halls or opera houses, there are control booths where, you know, normally these kind of things are controlled from, but it would be impossible to do what I do from there because you need to have that connection. So I do need to be physically quite close, but I hope mentally I'm completely invisible. My ideal is to have a cloak of invisibility, which has yet to be invented, but as soon as it has, I'll be in that thing.
Get into your boat.
I can't wait to hear them. I cannot wait to hear them singing it. I cannot wait to hear Ian singing this. I'm going to be in tears most of the time. I'm in tears most of the time when Ian sings happy songs. This one is going to have me beside myself.
Although a mother's mind may be unclouded, she may well lose her way through love of her child. Where does my darling stray? Shall I ask these travellers? Does he know his mother's grief?
That I was living with my child. There with my only child.
I wanted to talk a little bit about influences.
Well, I think of interest to me here is what Britain intended and then what we can extrapolate and develop from that. So we're not doing a literal interpretation. of this piece insofar as I'm not always obeying Benjamin Britten's instructions, but I hope that I'm not veering radically from them either. We're not performing the piece as a piece of no theatre. And that comes very deeply from my beliefs and commitment to this idea of authenticity, because I find any kind of reenactment or period costume, or I find it somehow inauthentic. Again, that's just a personal approach. I think this particular parable hones in on possibly what is the most painful and difficult experience, which is the mother's loss of a child. So in a way, that in itself is a very pure expression, the most intense kind of grief. I don't want to lose that in becoming sidetracked in the paraphernalia, masks or no theatre or whatever that is. You know, I'd really like to look straight in the face at that particular heart of this very, very moving story. And I think that's what really comes through this searingly beautiful music.
Look, while you are listening to my story, we have reached the bank. Lower the sail.
Behind me, wrapped in clouds and mists, lie the mountains I have crossed. Many a barrier have I passed through, many a province have I traversed. Here lies the far-famed Smida, and now I have reached the ferry.
Many of my visual references are Japanese references. That's inevitable. The visual world is heavily reliant on material that's gleaned from Japanese sources. But I've also been lucky enough to spend quite a lot of time in East Anglia in these last few years, and in fact all through my life. And there is a particular atmosphere there too that is worth exploring and thinking about. So I've done a lot of filming there, actually. You know, I've been wandering around the reed beds in East Suffolk, as usual, you know, with a camera. So, I'd like to bring that to the heart of London. You know, I think this, as most of his pieces, if we're honest, is so geographically centred. You know, they really are, and that's a wonderful thing about them. And that's very much part of this performance.
I'm presuming that you'll directly be using the bird imagery in some form within what you plan to project.
Yes, because the curlew itself is really central to the piece, and the theme of the curlew comes with the mad woman. And, you know, she sees these birds, invisible or not, flying around her. And that's very deeply rooted in the musical language of the piece. I think you can't help but do that when you're wandering around the Finland or, you know, through the marshes. The bird life is extremely active and very, very evocative. And so, you know, it's not for no reason that this is a central motif.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Right, so my name is Martin Holm, and I am acting visitor services manager for RSPB Rain and Marshes and Nature Reserve out in Purfleet, east of London. The curlew is a wading bird, a fairly big one, once very common, now less so, unfortunately. A wading bird means that it feeds and lives most of its life along shores on mud flats. If you look at a picture of a curlew, you will see it has a quite long curved beak. It uses that to sort of source its food, so it will put that into the mud and find its food. They're quite audible, so they have, to me, one of the most beautiful, quite melancholic calls, which I wouldn't be surprised inspired by Benjamin Britten, because when you hear a curlew, it's like it's a little pinch in the heart of sadness, but also joy, I guess. It has that tone straight in between the two emotions, for me at least. Curlew. Beautiful. Fantastic.
Next, we hear from musical director William Lacey.
I think the key influence on the piece musically is the trip that Britten made to Japan in 1956, which had a very big impact on his thinking and his creativity. And it came at the right moment. You know, all great creators who are lucky enough to have a long career, they have to have phases where they renew themselves. They know that they've done enough and had enough success and acclaim in a certain sphere, and they need something to send them in another direction. Mm. Those are the ones, you know, the Picassos of the world are the ones who manage to find these inspirations that give them new material.
Just to kind of set it out from the beginning is very different, is it all starts in Plainsong, which just sounds incredible.
Yeah, again, it's a new world, isn't it? I mean, it's so very surprising, because it's such an old sound, Plainsong. You know, it's immediately recognizable as something from hundreds of years ago. And so he tells us immediately that this is not going to be a normal musical experience. And a wonderful aspect of the piece, which again is influenced by No Theatre, I believe it's also influenced by the fact that it was the 1960s when he wrote it, is there's a random element in it, which is tremendously important. So what I mean by that is that all of his other operas until then were written basically for an orchestra and a conductor who were sitting in a pit, and they played the notes in front of them, and the conductor laid down the tempo in the usual way. In Curly River, there is no conductor. This is very important. Sometimes it's done with a conductor, and to do it with a conductor is to completely misunderstand the piece, I have to say. So there can be a musical director who's sitting at the chamber organ. That's how we're doing it. That's me. But the idea is there are seven instruments, and every instrumentalist is an equal partner in the event. So you don't have the hierarchy of the symphony orchestra. No, it's not that at all. It's seven equal players, and each of them leads at different times. And there are periods where there's no set tempo. So one of the seven people plays the main voice very freely as they feel it in the moment, and the others have to organize themselves around that person. So the random element means basically that every performance is going to be rather different. And I think that's a 60s thing, because even though Britten was the least kind of groovy person who ever lived, probably, and obviously we're not talking about the same 1960s as the Beatles and the Rolling Stones were experiencing, but that sense of experiment and freedom and randomness that you find in 60s rock music, I think also subconsciously had found its way to Britten in this piece. I think it's one of the great, great things about Britten. Of course, in this year, his 100th birthday year, there's a great deal of Britten going on. I've been listening to a lot of performances of Britten and indeed conducting them myself. And I've been doing Midsummer Night's Dream recently. My wife is about to do Lucretia for the first time. I'm preparing Curly River. I'm going to hear Death in Venice this evening. One of the things that strikes me hearing all this Britten is that actually every piece has its own sound world. And that is a phenomenal achievement. I mean, how many composers have done that, to write that many operas and yet to have everyone sound different? And Curly River, in some ways, it's the most haunting of all, because it has this spareness which is so affecting, tragic somehow, but in such an understated way. It's a piece, it's very hard to get out of your head when you go to a good performance. It stays in your head for quite a few days afterwards.
I suppose that leads on to the kind of the question of, does it have a happy ending? I think it finishes with an amen, but I mean, it's quite a tragic story.
Yeah, yes and no. Okay, it's amen, but Britten's relationship to religion was ambiguous, like so many people in the 20th century. So when one's not quite sure what an amen actually means in this context, I find it to be a tragic work personally, but that's the way I respond to it. I mean, Nisha may have other ideas for that.
I was speaking to William Lacey, and one thing he mentioned, and we were sort of, when we were talking about the story and the production, was the ending, whether it was a tragic ending or whether there was hope at the end.
There's much written about this, and there's much complaint, actually, because for some people, I think Britten's interpretation of this, of Sumidagawa, which is the no play, into the context of a medieval mystery, they feel that it works unnaturally. And for me, I think my approach here is possibly less literal. I think there is a moment of clarity, which I find so moving, comes with uncertainty. And therefore, when we arrive at the end and we have certainty, we also have a sense of completion, or, if you like, redemption. My interpretation perhaps isn't so ecclesiastical. I mean, if you really look at this story, nothing happens at all. You know, a woman has lost her child at the beginning and she's still lost her child at the end. Yet there is a journey, whether this be emotional or spiritual. I think it can be just one of those transcendental moments of listening to an incredibly beautiful and beautifully made piece of artwork. This year, you know, because of this incredible centenary, it's an absolute joy and pleasure to work on this particular piece. I think it's a piece that's really open to many, many ways of presentation. And so I think that's exactly what should be. There should be lots of different versions, lots of styles and, you know, approaches. I think it should be performed as much as possible. It's a very difficult piece, but it really is rewarding and a pleasure to work on.
What seemed her boy is but a grassy mound, lost on the wide, desolate moor. Sadness and tender pity fill all hearts. Sadness and tender pity fill all hearts.
You've just heard director Neisha Jones and musical director William Lacey and a brief cameo from singer Ian Bostridge talking about Benjamin Britten's Curlew River. This sold-out production ran at St Giles Cripplegate, the church opposite the Barbican main complex, on the 14th to the 16th of November 2013, with Britten Sinfonia and Britten Sinfonia Voices. You also heard on this podcast the voice of Tomoko Kimura reading the narration from the No Play Sumida River and expert curlew spotting and advice from Martin Holm at RSPB Rainer Marshes. I'm Ben Eshmade. Thanks for listening to this archive edition of Nothing Concrete, the Barbican podcast, here to inspire more people to discover and love the arts with weekly episodes of archive finds and theme series. Subscribe to Nothing Concrete on Acast, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. And if you can, leave us a review to help us get the word out.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.